Good evening and welcome to this special edition of The Second Shift, episode 15.5. We're here at the Hayes Mansion in March, Cambridgeshire. We've just watched SummerSlam. Here with me is Wayne is a Baker.
How are you doing?
And Kai the Gypsy.
Hello everyone.
Right, SummerSlam in, guys. What are your thoughts, firstly, and then we'll do a quick match by match. I think that's the way we'll do it. So, firstly, good show?
Yeah, I think it were a good show. A lot more unpredictable than we'd guessed. And I'm quite glad that I only got a couple of predictions right, because I think it made me enjoy the show more.
Wayne?
No, totally agree. I think that says everything when we all got like about 3 out of the fucking 8 odd matches correct. So, and also, Kai also noticed throughout the show that the heels went on a hell of a winning streak.
Yeah, 4 in a row at one point.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That was a heel SummerSlam event, wasn't it?
And that's quite rare for a pay-per-view that's like the second biggest of the year. Especially in the main event, because, you know, McMahon's always kind of wanted to go off, you know, leaving the fans happy. But I'm glad he didn't do that tonight.
Okay. All right. So, first match of the night was The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Now, if you're on GroupMe or Twitter or Facebook, you've probably seen pictures of me fast asleep. And, yes, I missed the entire fucking match. So
don't forget the chips on your face.
Yeah, and they put chips on my face and everything, which for American means... what does that
fries.
Mean?
Fries.
Hey, fries. So
all Americans gay.
Hey, fries.
You like curly fries. Right, anyway. So I need the boys to sort of fill me in on this match. I've just literally had a breeze through on my Sky HD box, and it looked like a pretty decent match. So, Wayne, what did you think of it?
No, really good. Typical sort of... Dolph match. I don't think that was as good as their Raw one, personally. But, no, I think that was to give the fans what they wanted at the start of the night, get the crowd in a good mood, because that come out of nowhere. No one expected Ziggler to be winning. And if you said that you were, then you're lying.
Kai?
Yeah, I think we're the nail on the head right there. You know, everyone expected The Miz to be winning. We all did. We've just been joking about it before, that it was a dead cert that Miz was going to win. So it was great to see Ziggler win. And to be honest, I kind of feel that Ziggler really, really needed that championship gold, whereas Miz could handle it without it. With his gimmick, he could go on without it.
Okay, right. I didn't watch the match, as I said, and I didn't believe the guys that they said that Ziggler had won. So, when I finally found out it was on commentary, and I couldn't believe it, actually, because I honestly thought Miz was going over. I thought that his gimmick was too fresh at the moment, and it was new. It was quite a new gimmick. But hopefully that leads to a Ziggler versus Sheamus match for a unification match at Night of Champions. What do you guys think of that, Wayne?
I think if they're going to unify, that's going to be Night of Champions. But it's just weird that everyone keep on about this unification, yet other than a website article, it's never actually been hinted at. So...
Kai, what do you think? Maybe
yes or no? I'm not sure whether I want the unification match to happen, but... You know, and like Wayne said, it's only been hinted online with rumours, so I think we've got to wait until tomorrow night. But I could actually see Miz and Ziggler continuing their feud and Miz trying to get the title back, and I think that's what's going to lead into Night of Champions.
Yeah, I mean, they're two great working guys, and every time they meet in the ring, it's always going to be a good match, so let's hope it does prolong for a little bit longer. But anyway, let's move on to the second match of the night, which was AJ Lee versus Paige for the Divas title.
Happy days.
Wayne did not touch himself, thank God, throughout this match.
We can confirm that.
We can confirm that. I saw no penis action whatsoever, mainly because I was drowsy, a bit drowsy at this point.
Drowsy.
It is 5 in the morning here. Right, I was a bit drowsy at that point, but I thought it was a really, really good Divas match, and they actually gave it a bit of time. Kai, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I think the key to that is how Wayne described it when we were watching it, and that was that they're a lot more physical than we really expected it to be. You know, everything was hard-hitting. There was a lot of, you know, spots outside of the ring, especially the one where AJ got thrown onto the... Ring barrier. Yeah, like I say, it is late. But yeah, overall, a really, really good match, and I didn't expect the ending. So another big surprise, and you know, it caught me off guard.
Wayne,
no, some of the bumps that they took at DDT in the ring, whatever Paige calls it, Rampage. awesome. So much better than a PTO. Also, there was a top rope suplex or something
there. Yeah, I believe so, yeah, if I can recall.
Or jumping off the top rope, something, anyway.
Yeah, there was the crossbody to the outside. We're just watching it back now.
Yeah, we are actually watching it as back as we were doing this podcast.
That, where AJ pushes Paige off of the top rope to the outside, and she kind of waves a goodbye, you know.
So I really like the outcome of the match. I thought it was a really decent match. Both of the girls look quite strong, and this feud's definitely going to continue. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Who else is there to go with the belts? Who else is ready at the moment? That's the question. I don't think there is anyone at the moment.
Yeah, I can see this going on for many, many months. The only thing that I could think of being slipped in between is that Nikki Bella might have been, we'll get to this more later, but Nikki Bella might have been promised a sort of title match in you know, for turning on Brie later in the night, but mm-hmm. I think that'd just be a side story to this main feud, and I can see this going on for a very long time.
Yeah, definitely. But everyone's happy with the match, yeah?
Yeah.
More and that's a lot better than the previous match they've had. That was a lot more physical. And I didn't think that needed the extra time. That was just the right amount of spots for the length of match. That weren't too much. It was just right.
Okay. So two matches down, two title changes, and I think safe to say two matches that we probably weren't expecting the results of. So we moved on to the next match, which was Rusev Crush versus Jack Swagger, We the People.
The flag match is not a fucking flag match.
The flag match was not a fucking flag match.
It took us halfway through the match and a lot of looking on GroupMe to confirm how this match was going to actually take place, because none of us knew the fucking rules.
we realised the rules was, it's a normal match, but you get a flag at the end.
To be fair, I was arguing the whole way through that it was just going to be a pinfall or submission, and you guys were like, no, this is a flag match. It says flag match up in the top corner.
Well, yeah, it says hashtag flag match in the top corner of the programme, but it's literally like a carnival event. You do the event, and then you get a little something at the end, i.e. a little flag that you can wave for your friends.
I'd just fucking love it if the loser come up with a flag and just started fucking waving it, even though they lost, and like the referee gets angry and fucking takes it away from them.
Okay, so let's get away from the bullshit flag element of the match. What did you think about the match itself, Kai?
I rather enjoyed it.
Really?
It's not the greatest technical sort of thing ever, but it's helping Rusev and it's helping Swagger, and like I said earlier in the night, Swagger is in a much better position than we ever expected him to be. You know, who would have expected that by SummerSlam, Swagger would be in a better position than Cesaro? And I quite enjoyed the match. I was never a fan of Rusev, but he's starting to, you know, I'm starting to warm to him a little bit.
Do you not think that a lot of the Swagger's sort of push was quite natural, though?
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm not going to lie and say that, you know, he did something massive to deserve it. But, you know, the fans are behind him, so I kind of felt like they should have ran with that a bit better. That I am quite glad that he didn't tap out. But, you know, just giving him the win and then letting Rusev go over in a month's time at Night of Champions, that might have been the better way to go, in my opinion. But, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Wayne, what do you think of the match?
Exactly the same as Kai. I can't really further comment on that. Just that I'm interested in Swagger's character, and I'm not even American. And I just felt sorry for the poor sod. If he'd generally passed out after that hold, the fact that they left the poor sod half dead on his face for about 10 minutes while they assembled that fucking flag up.
And an elderly gentleman who'd just been kicked in the face.
Oh, that's fine, though. That's understandable. But,
that's America for you.
Personally, I wasn't involved in the match too much, to be fair. But I'm more interested where I see these two gentlemen going from here. I mean, for me, I see Rusev maybe in a feud with John Cena down the line, just because he is so strong at the moment. But I don't know what you guys think the future holds for Jack Swagger.
Tricky one.
I could see him running with this Patriot gimmick for a while longer. I can't think of many that he could go up against. But, you know, if the fans are behind him and the fans are chanting "We the People" and, you know, they're cheering for him, then, you know, keep him as a babyface. You know, don't be flipping him back so soon. You know, this is an opportunity that Swagger's never had. You know, he's in a better place than he has been in years. Even after he won the world title, he was never as credible. Well, he was about as credible as he is now. So he's in a better position than he has been in years. So I say run with it.
Cool. Any more thoughts, Wayne, or should we move on?
Nah, move on. Pretty much agree with Kai.
Cool. Okay, next match we had Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. It was the Lumberjack match, wasn't it? Oh, blimey. What are your guys' thoughts of that, Wayne?
I actually liked what they'd done with it. That was more of a light-hearted entertainment match rather than everyone thought that was going to be spot fest, you know, glorious flying moves, hard hitting moves. It weren't that all. It was more entertainment and it weren't overkill. The good use of Kane, that's how the corporate Kane character should be used, just for bits like that rather than just being a knob. No, it worked for me. I really enjoyed it. Lighthearted, fun, and I genuinely thought that he was going to fucking throw fucking Rollins off the fucking concourse cover and onto a fucking load of wrestlers, but that never happened. No. That was sort of like a false spot.
We kind of built that up in our heads
In this room, it was built up that that was going to happen.
And then we were kind of a little bit disappointed after that. But, you know, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a big... It was a, you know, they're saying this is... Hashtag this is awesome's trending after that match. Was it awesome?
No. It weren't that sort of match, was it?
No. For me, it was such a light-hearted affair. You know, I think this feud is going to continue because I think they're going to have a proper serious match at some point. Hopefully at Hell in a Cell, it'll run until then.
Do you see an actual Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell?
I'd love to. I'd like to see a match at Night of Champions and then a decider maybe at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Because this one was very light-hearted. There was a few high spots. But yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? It was a fun match, I thought.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Also, I'm pissed off the lack of commentators pointing out that Damien Sandow was actually dressed as a lumberjack.
Which we didn't notice until after the match and going on Twitter. But yeah, some good spots, some good use of the lumberjacks. And it was something different. We've never seen a lumberjack match where they've gone out into the crowd like that. And
heels attack faces, and, you know, heels attack heels even. And it was just...
You can just tell that Rollins and Ambrose have really put their own touch onto the match and they haven't had this booked for them. You can just kind of tell that it's their opportunity and their match.
Yeah, they've definitely run with it together, haven't they?
And that's what happens when you're on the road with each other for, you know, 24/7.
Yeah. So, Rollins took the win. Everyone happy with that?
That's what I guessed. Ambrose got too big a push last few weeks on the televised show, so that weren't a shock for me, that one. That was my first correct guess of the night.
Well, I went with Ambrose and continued my... losing streak on the predictions, but I didn't really mind either way. You know, both men have got a bright future. Ambrose, I felt needed it a little bit more because Seth had the Money in the Bank. So I'm happy because I know that this feud is going to continue and we're going to see great matches, and Ambrose is going to get some sort of win in the future.
Yeah, see, I quite liked it when Ambrose was clear in the ring, and the last two guys that were in the ring that he had to clear were Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. It's sort of as they didn't have any part of SummerSlam. I thought that was quite a nice touch for those two. I don't know what you guys think of that. Wait.
It was weird. It felt like it was going to build to a feud. We're like, what the fuck? It felt separate, but then it didn't. But obviously, they needed to keep their faces on the pay-per-view because they weren't allowed, obviously, into the Bray Wyatt match. And that was a good way of doing it, building someone else up in another one's match. So,
yeah. Any more thoughts on this match before we move on?
No, I think we're ready to move on.
Cool. Next match was Bray Wyatt versus Y2J Chris Jericho. Now, it's probably been the worst build match of SummerSlam, and for me, it probably lived up to that.
It was the slowest one, weren't it? It was not a bad match. Nothing went wrong, but nothing really stood out, did it?
No, I liked Y2J's sort of old-style entrance. I sort of marked out at that a tiny bit.
Yeah, I think that was probably the second best thing of that whole match, which is a bit disappointing, really. I mean, I took a piss during this match, so that's kind of showed my opinion, but it wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't... There was nothing special about it.
Would you say Raw-esque match, or...?
I think it was a... I don't know, to be honest. I'd be more likely to say it was a pay-per-view match, quality. Just, it felt like it was missing something. It feels like this whole feud is missing something, and something's just not clicking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you think about that, Wayne.
Could it be a spark between the actual two competitors? Just that believable thing that they've got a feud going. That's more like they're feuding at each other rather than with each other for me. That's just... They're physically there, but they're not mentally together. I don't know.
Yeah, I sort of know what you mean. It seems like these two competitors are in a sort of no man's land at the moment. It's like Chris Jericho's just happy to be there, and Bray Wyatt's just waiting for his next feud, it seems to me.
Yeah, and it feels like there's nothing wrong with it. You can't pinpoint either what's wrong with it, but in exactly the same way, you can't pinpoint anything that's really standout about it either.
Yeah.
In a way, I kind of feel like, and I mentioned this earlier, Jericho might have been... He might have fitted in better going after The Miz, and I feel like a programme with The Miz would have been better use than this one now, but we were so hyped up about the Jericho-Wyatt feud because we thought this was going to be a lot better than it has been so far. But, you know, sometimes two guys can just get in the ring or get in a programme and it just can't work. You know, it's no fault on the actual wrestlers, it's just something doesn't click.
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt for the win, I suppose we're all happy with that.
Yeah, he needed it, and we got it. That's
yeah, pretty much. Right, let's move on, get away from that match. And Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella.
Pleasant surprise of the night.
Fuck yeah, and I must say, I've just got to say that Stephanie McMahon's outfit, wow. The lace.
She knew it was good.
Black lace.
She tweeted a picture out of that before the pay-per-view, so she knew she looked good.
Black,
and she wanted a fucking
lace
shot.
Lace woman. I was very impressed with that black lace. I had a little twingle.
But also, there was a good wrestling match on as well.
Yeah, there was a good wrestling match, so let's get to the wrestling match.
It needed Stephanie to be the dominant competitor in that, and my God, didn't she do it. She fucking led that match from start to finish, and she was awesome.
There was a chant about halfway through that said, "You've still got it," and that just proved exactly what, you know, she had more skill there than half of the Divas division.
Yeah.
And she's gone out there and she's stepped it up, and she can go back there now and say, "Oh, you bitches, you know, you just need to step it up now because I can do it better than you." and you'll be out of a job if not.
It was like she was a 10-year veteran rather than being out of the ring for 10 years.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. But she is being trained by the master, isn't she? And she's got Triple H at home training her in the gym, at home, in the bedroom. Lovely.
But she was never a professional wrestler.
No, she
wasn't. Time. So that, you know, she's been out of the ring for 10 years, and that's like if Vicky Guerrero came back in 10 years' time and had a match, you know. That's kind of the same sort of situation. And it was a great, you know, it was a really good Divas match. We were more, you know, brought into this than the Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho match.
Yep, completely agree. So then we had Triple H run down the ring, interrupted the referee, in which in turn led Nikki Bella to enter the ring. And do you want to take us through what happened, Wayne?
Well, we've been saying for about the 5 minutes before then, haven't we? This is the bit, she's going to get in the ring. No, not yet. She's going to hit her. Not yet. It was like that. So when it finally happened, it weren't a shock, but it was quite a fucking forearm she threw at Brie.
Great moment. But one thing that we have missed, we did miss Triple H taking the dropkick from Brie Bella.
Fucking yes.
We actually marked out for here because me and Ant both turned around to each other and said, you know, Triple H gets a load of shit, but he's just proved there that, you know, he will sell for anyone. Yep. He sold for the Shield. We worked out that the last time he won a match was against Brock Lesnar, and that was only because he'd laid down to Brock Lesnar twice. And, you know, that's what has to, you know, a face has to win at some point. And, you know, now he's been a heel, he's just fucking sold for everyone. And
he
sold Brie slap on Raw, and then he just sold a dropkick from a diva. You know, it was brilliant.
When you've got Brie Bella standing over Triple H, a multi-time world champion, doing a yes chant over him after she's just kicked him in the face, don't ever tell me Triple H don't sell. Don't ever tell me that. He is a true, brilliant man of the... Right, okay. Let me just explain. Because we are watching... We're sort of doing a quick recap. And we've just watched Triple H walk behind...
Be the pervy long-lost uncle in your family as he walks behind Bella... licks his lips and peers down her ample cleavage.
That is a good moment.
I'm going to take a photo of that.
We'll take a photo of that and we'll put it onto the Facebook page and the Twitter page. Because, yeah, Triple H looking down at Nikki Bella's tits and licking his lips like he's having a luscious time there. He's really happy with that. Okay, anyway, tits aside, let's move on. Because we had so much more to cover. Any more thoughts on that match first before we move on?
No, just pleasantly surprised.
Yeah really surprised. Pleasantly surprised. Then we had this bullshit. What was this bullshit?
Tortino's fucking advert.
Tortino's advert. Jesus Christ.
That was fucking bad. Get
Kai, off. Kai marked out that.
No, yeah.
He was off the pre-show.
He thought it was a real wrestler.
No, I said I was worried that it was a real wrestler. Let's just get that right.
Okay. Right, let's move on. Next match. Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. Good match? Bad match, Wayne?
If you get to the last 5 minutes, it turns into a good match.
Going through the motions to start
with?
Yeah,
just slow, usual spots. And then last 5 minutes, that really kick off. And they do some really good stuff, like the Orton snap power slam.
The big suplex that Reigns took from the top rope, you know, that was brilliant.
And the fucking, when Reigns just stupidly starts jumping and fucking Randy Orton does like the fucking RKO, it's awesome.
I think we kind of thought that that might be the end of the match when that happened. That was our sort of like sit up moment.
Mm.
But other than that, it was like I say, it's kind of the same as the Wyatt and
This accelerated at the end. This actually got it going.
But I mean, before the end, was kind of like there was just something missing, and then that RKO happened. And that, I think that was it.
Yeah, the flying RKO, which me as a massive Randy Orton fan was a nice little mark out moment for me. That was awesome. But the result, there it is. We just watched it. result, obviously Roman Reigns getting his first proper win in a one-on-one match. I don't know. That's pretty much done what it said on
it
the tin.
It had
team,
to
really.
Happen, didn't it?
Yeah. He's on a push. He's not going to lose his first match, is he? So.
No. Okay. Well, we've got a really amazing sort of spectacle to cover next, which is the main event. Brock Lesnar versus John Cena.
This was more of a fucking flag match, and the flag match, the way fucking Lesnar was just waving fucking Cena about suplex.
Wow. I never, ever thought I'd see John Cena being in a squash match.
F5 in the first minute and a half.
Wow. I just fucking Lesnar's face as he's sitting there grinning at him. After the first minute, it was just...
I think we all had a bit of a moment after that first minute when he'd done that F5.
It was
kind of
like, whoever's booked that, to, you know, whoever decided that that was the right way to go made a brilliant decision because, you know, it was just such a mega moment.
Yeah, I mean...
nothing else really you can say.
No, and it's just, his whole aura in this match was incredible.
Paul Heyman's reaction to the... we're just watching it again now, the F5, and we're watching Paul Heyman in the background just jumping up and down.
Yeah.
That's exactly how we reacted when...
with Undertaker.
Lesnar beat The Undertaker. It's absolutely fantastic.
Completely agree. So, what did everyone think of this match? I mean, there was a couple of boring chants, which I got absolutely rolled with. There was also a little kid shouting fucking
Cena! Cena! Let's go Cena!
Which I literally wanted to smash a little brick's face in. But...
I don't know why he annoyed you two so much.
No, he did. You weren't in the room when it started.
I could really hear it. It's like, you know, if there's a fly in the room, it gets in your head. And that little kid right by the microphone, let's go Cena! Back off. But anyway... 20 million German suplexes. What did you think of the match as a whole way?
You were waiting for Cena to fucking come back, and it never happened. He only got two moves in the whole match.
Five.
Two moves in the whole match. It was just unreal. It was squashed done to perfection.
Yeah, completely agree. Kai?
I mean, I never expected Cena to win. But then I didn't expect him to fucking, in a way, fucking lose like this, you know. I expected him to come back, do his five moves of doom, and then, you know, then he gets caught in another F5 and loses.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when he got caught in that second F5, I was thinking to myself, really, they're going to have him kick out of another one? But they didn't, and, you know... this was as close to a squash match as you can get for John Cena. This is a guy that, you know, he must have lost clean three times in the last 5 years. And he's just been absolutely annihilated by the Beast.
What do you think of John Cena's record? It seems to me like John Cena's lost 7 times at SummerSlam now. That's more than anyone in history. And also he's lost the last 4 SummerSlam matches. You know, is this like his predominant, this is where I lose every year sort of match?
Triple H's was Mania. Maybe this is Cena's.
Yeah, maybe. Because, you know, he's on a four losing streak. That's crazy.
Cena knows the right time to lay down. When he went
in the
summer. Yeah. But he does know the right time and the right guy to lay down to. And it's, you know, it's helped his career and it's helped others. You know, no one can say that John Cena doesn't put people over. Even in winning and the other person in defeat, he puts people over. Look at what he did for Bray Wyatt. But yeah, a fantastic match. And, we all kind of saw the result coming, but a great result too.
Yeah, cool. So where do you see these... two superstars going from here? What do you see for Lesnar and what do you see for Cena coming from out of SummerSlam?
For Lesnar, I would... it's all a bit of, you know, when's his schedule going to be? We don't know, and I think that unpredictability is something that I'm quite, you know, enjoying about this, and I'm quite looking forward to. Cena, on the other hand, I think he's just going to go back to doing what he does. You know, he's going to go back to being that company man. I don't see much changing, but you're suggesting that he might go on to face Rusev.
I personally think Cena versus Rusev would be a decent angle for both men. Rusev's still undefeated in WWE, and you know, John Cena's your big baby face, and you could make that your next sort of USA versus Russia sort of thing.
Never give up
versus Nemanja.
Let's go, Cena.
Nemanja. So yeah, that's what I see for John Cena. For Lesnar, the world is his oyster, isn't it? He's probably... When do you reckon his next match will be, Wayne?
He's got to be at Night of Champions.
Yeah, well, he has to.
So...
Rematch?
Then do we see the same thing again?
Hmm?
Because then you're just going to make him look weak again. And he's not going to drop the title at Night of Champions now, I don't
think. Oh, no, of course not.
So, I can't... There's got to be a rematch, but I can't see it because I can't see that match again happening in that form.
If the rematch happened, could there be a screwy finish?
Oh, fuck with the screwy finishes in wrestling.
Lesnar don't need screwy. It's the easy option. So I can see Cena picking up a injury so he can go and finish his film and just the rematch don't happen. So... I don't know who he could go to into be, next.
He was laid out at the end of that, and they didn't see him getting back up. You know, the doctors were straight in there. They were really pushing that. They said he took 16 German 16 suplexes, and you know, we all thought that it seemed like more. But
yeah, there was one where he landed on his head. Where I was like, fucking hell!
Yeah, you sat up and you were like, fucking hell!
That looked like it really.
That's the first time I've ever heard Ant go, fucking hell! He's seen her all right.
there was two where he got screwed up pretty fucking bad.
Yeah. Lesnar did not ease up at all. But for me, I don't honestly know who I see him in a match at Night of Champions.
Too early for Reigns.
Yeah, I mean,
Bryan obviously isn't about. Orton is the wrong side.
We're in that sort of grey area. I mean, I think that's probably one of the easiest options to do at the moment would be Orton versus Lesnar. But yeah, I mean, not sure.
Sheamus stepping up.
How about Cesaro?
No,
the guy that was in the pre-show. Needs a push. Okay, so that was our thoughts on SummerSlam, but I believe we've got a quick email in from Kata. Wayne, do you want to read that email off for us?
Yeah, I'll murder that for us.
Well,
this will be fun.
It's stupid o'clock, and the iPad font is really small, so this is only going to lead one way. But he has this to say. What?
Who's it from? Sorry?
Kata.
Okay, it's from
Kata. You did say that.
Okay.
Several times.
Sorry.
We're off already, aren't we? Right. Hey, yo. What's up, fuckers? As you might have guessed, when you weren't having your threesome, I just finished SummerSlam. What a great show. Really enjoyed Lesnar Cena. Although I thought their 2012 match was better. Just about every match on the card delivered for me, except Rusev versus Swagger and Ambrose versus Rollins. Now I've stated I wasn't a fan of lumberjack matches, and tonight proved it. Sure, we got two or three high spots, but the whole thing for me was a letdown. Kane coming down was pointless, and could somebody please explain why at one point RVD was shielding every one of the lumberjacks from attacking? What a fucking idiot. Rusev versus Swagger was built as a flag match. Going into this match, there was reports that WWE still didn't know what the rules were. It's a fucking flag match. One flag on the post, another flag on the other post, and the first person to retrieve their flag wins. I had no idea how they had to win until I saw them start to try and pin each other. My pick was Swagger, as he could get the flag, get the American pop, and that way Rusev stays unpinned. If I knew it was going to be a singles match, I'd have picked Rusev. Other than that, really great show, and I look forward to Night of Champions. Kata out.
Okay, so that was Kata's email. Obviously, we've pretty much covered the point of the flag match during the show. But do you want to talk about the Ambrose Rollins? Obviously, he's got a lot of hate for that lumberjack match, but and we've picked the positives out of it because we're positive guys here. Wayne, do you got any thoughts of Kata's email on that?
Yeah, obviously he didn't get the match that he wanted, and I don't think a lot of people got the match that they wanted. For me, it was never meant to be the singles match to end the feud or whatever. I think this is to delay it another month, to get another month's mileage out of it, to try and, well, Kai's theory about having the cell rings true. So that gets it forward another month without having the same match again, and they can start with still with a clean slate.
Yeah, Kai?
Yeah, I have to agree. It wasn't the match that some people were expecting, but it was the sort of match that I was expecting. I was expecting a sort of, well, this was meant to be a keep them inside the ring sort of match. It's meant to be a bit gimmicky. And, you know, it lived up to one of the better lumberjack matches that I've seen, you know, in a very, very long time. Now I'm thinking Night of Champions, this can move on to maybe some sort of submission match or maybe an Iron Man match before going with the sort of extreme Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell. But I was happy with this. And like I say, we've spent all this time and we've been able to pick something positive out of every match. Even the Rusev and Swagger match, we picked out the positives.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think what Kat's trying to say, I had a preconception of what the Ambrose-Rollins match was going to be, and it obviously wasn't that.
It weren't but trying it was, to be it, and that's no, not... That's,
it was still thoroughly enjoyable, and it was quite light-hearted. It wasn't sort of the gritty match of what we was all expecting. But still enjoyable, still a good match.
And you know you're going to get another one.
Yeah. As for RVD, yeah, I did see that and I did spot that he was sort of shielding everyone away from Ambrose. I sort of didn't get that either. I don't know what you guys think of that. He is just a dick, Kata. End of.
No. I think you've kind of summed it up there, you know. There's always going to be, in a match where this, you know, how many people were there? At least 20. There's going to be some sort of, you know, botch or mistake within it.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily a botch. I think it was more of a face sort of move. You know, he was just trying to help out Ambrose in some way. Maybe he was playing face and heel where the others were just playing middle
every
ground.
Man for themselves.
Yeah, maybe.
I like that was just such a fucking manic thing. Normally you have got the great divide of faces and heels, and tonight was just a fucking fuck it, we'll attack anyone.
Yeah, but yeah,
it was good fun, you know. That's what they must have planned it to be, and you know, now we can move on with the feud. It's going to get more and more, you know, gritty and, you know, dare I say it, extreme.
But yes, back on the final point of your email about the flag match, yes, it would have been nice if there were some fucking flags involved. I completely agree. it would have alliterated the point for all of us.
But then again, right, did we actually want to see, and you know, did we actually want to see a flag match? Because it's just like a, you know, something on a pole match. It's something that WCW did. I'm not sure whether I'm really interested about someone going up and grabbing a flag to win. You know, I kind of want to see a wrestling match. Sure, it would have worked with Swagger being able to win without pinning or beating Rusev. But if Rusev's going to win, you know, let him do it this way.
Kat is only moaning because his predictions are out now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, see, I think Money in the Bank's killed the flag match, because I'd like to see, you know, a ladder, your flag's up hanging up the top, and you've got to get to the top of the pole and retrieve your flag.
So that's like a ladder match?
Yeah, like a Money in the Bank match, but you've got to retrieve your flag. That's the way a flag match should be. I don't know what... This was a singles match, wasn't it?
This is WWE booking, you know, 101, but... I think it was a bad match overall. Once you understood the rules, it's just a normal fucking match with you win something at the end, and that's to fly your flag. And you know, the Rusev looked dominant. Zeb took a bump. I can't fault it much.
Yeah, typical IWC. Always something to moan about. Cheers, Kat, for that. And please send your email into the Second Shift and DSJMP. Thank you very much, mate. Cheers. But anyway, okay. So that's pretty much it, isn't it? You know, a little short show, just a little teaser show, just for our reviews of SummerSlam. But overall, again, you're happy with the show?
Yep, there's been a lot worse, so been that's a lot worse. Really good. Good 3-hour show, solid.
Yeah,
it were a good SummerSlam last year. It's been a great SummerSlam this year. And next year, we'll just touch on quickly, they're going to New York.
Which I called in my WIR well call. Done. Go back, listen
well
to
done.
It. I called it weeks ago, so boom, bollocks. But yeah, I just want to quickly say, it's great to have these guys here at my house and watch it with the Second Shift guys. It's just been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's been a great day.
Rather than watching it on my own in a darkened room. So it's been great. Any more thoughts, guys, while we're still here? Kai?
No, I think we've touched on everything, to be honest, Paul.
Yep. Wayne?
No, I'm all good.
Yeah, so just a quick little show, this little snippet of the SummerSlam review show, as it were. But join us on Friday download for the episode of The Second Shift. That'll be episode 16. Bloody hell, we're getting there, guys. And also join us on Wednesday for the DSJMP podcast. But thanks for joining us, guys. It's now 4:33 in the morning. So I'm going to have another beer, have a ciggy, and then...
I was going to say, I've woke up now.
Yeah, I'm up now. Might as well fucking stay on for 2 more hours then.
My train's in 9 hours, I'm not going to sleep.
But thanks for listening, guys, and take care. See you later. Say bye, then.
See you later.
Bye. You'll be my sunshine.